Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Preds and Canucks even up at one game apiece, coming back to Nashville for game three tomorrow. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Alex Doherty from the Tennessean. Alex, welcome back to town. Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Lot of traveling yesterday, but I'm back and I'm awake right now to talk to you. So I'm glad to be here.
What a champion you are. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So Alex, it's a 1-1 series in some ways, kind of an unconventional route to get to that point. But what do you make of what you've seen from the Predators through the first two games?
Well, I don't think I've ever seen a third period quite like that. game two's third period was a 20-minute penalty kill. I mean, maybe not fully 20 minutes, but it felt like, I was watching the game. I had to move downstairs for the, I was up in the press box for most of it at Rogers Arena, but then you have to move downstairs. And I remember just everyone down there is just expecting the game to get tied, or at least for the Canucks to get on the board, because there was just so many chances. And I was surprised that Vancouver didn't pull the goalie earlier, because why not? Like, Nashville wasn't even getting the puck over the red line, and it would have been really probably a good idea to pull the goalie and just go ahead and get even more skaters out there. But anyways, overall, I think that the fact that they came back with the series tied and still didn't play really all that great in either game as a team is probably bodes well. I mean, and then obviously the news with Thatcher Demko likely being out for the rest of the series is just like it just means that they have such an opportunity here, and they need to take advantage at home. And it starts Friday night.
Yeah, no, I can't recall that either. Like the level of domination, when it ends up 4-1 score the other way, and also like shots on goal are like 18-16. So you look at the box score and it's like, okay, man, Preds outplayed them, huh? It was just pure territorial domination. How do you explain that? Because obviously the first game, Alex, I think it was pretty evenly played. Both teams had their stretches. And I guess I kind of thought the other night, the Canucks know they have to win this game with the Demko news. I feel like it was just like a desperate, almost like they were the ones who were down in the series playing an elimination game. So maybe you chalk some of it up to that. But how do you think it flips, if it does flip, and who needs to, I guess, in particular, play better for the Preds Friday night?
I'm not entirely sure, because I think that it was part of it was matchups. The top line, the Predators top line, really kind of got shut down by the Lindholm line. Which is kind of surprising. They were at 5-on-5 anyways. It seemed like they had to spend so much time dealing with the Canucks forecheck. They just couldn't. They had these long shifts, and then they just had to dump the puck out and go off for a change. And so like there was so much defensive work. I tried to ask if they were, it felt like it, at least at some point, I know this sounds kind of strange, but it felt like they were playing such defensive hockey the whole time. They were almost in like a rhythm defensively. They were almost like in a, they just were kind of like, they would go out there, play, 45 seconds let's block every shot and then go off for a change. And then the next group does the same thing. It was just like, they had this defensive rhythm going on where, and Saros was locked in, and they had like three guys in front of the net at all times, and it was just it almost felt like they were kind of okay with it. Like, and you know, I asked Brunette about it, and he was like, "Well, I mean, they were trying to push to get out of the zone, but at the same time, they were like, you know, if we're blocking so many shots and we're getting in the passing lanes and stopping the dangerous stuff, you know, it's like you got to do what's working." And then finally, at one point in the period, Phil Forsberg decides to skate it into the offensive zone and draws a penalty. And it's like, I wonder if you had tried to do that earlier, maybe some better stuff would have happened. But yeah, it was really crazy. And I'm not entirely sure. I think part of it is, you know, what could change on Friday. Like, you're going to get maybe a little bit better matchup. You're going to have the home crowd on your side, and you're going to have a Canucks team that maybe is going to start double guessing things, and maybe they're going to change up some things. Maybe they'll make a lineup change and think that they need to switch it up, and that could help you. I think that it's going to have to come internally from the Preds. Like, they're going to have to find a way to generate 5-on-5 better, because it's just like, it's not a great start to the series, even though they're tied.
Alex Doherty from the Tennessean with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, like you said, Friday they will have, you know, more control of the matchups, having last change at home. Do you think that we overblow that this time of year? Do you think that that could end up making a big difference from the Predators? How do you view that? Not only the home atmosphere, which we know is going to be awesome, but just the last change part of it and how that could affect the game coming up on Friday in Game 3.
Yeah, I think it's situational. I think it's like in certain moments, like you get, let's say you get a big offensive zone start just after an icing or something, and you know that the line out there for the Canucks is tired, and then you want to throw the Forsberg line out there. Like, in that situation, you've got a huge advantage. Or, you know, a situation where you know that a particular line on the Vancouver side is not playing well, and you like the matchup with the Novak line, for example. So I think there is something to it. You can definitely overplay it. I mean, most changes in hockey games are on the fly anyways. So it's right. not like it's all about the changes at the faceoff. So I think there's something to it, and I think Brunette is probably the kind of coach that will take advantage of it.
Yeah, and like you said earlier, I mean, maybe just even getting away from Lindholm when you can, too, right? I mean, things like that.
Yeah.
And I imagine, I mean, it seems like he likes Sissons against the Miller line, right? I mean,
that's what I was going to say. Yeah, exactly. The Miller line, especially not that they've been bad, but like, for Elias Pettersson clearly is not playing very well.
Yep.
And like,
yeah,
the Vancouver knows that. And he's so, like, I think Brunette could do some stuff with that, where he could put the systems line on Pettersson and really frustrate him even more, you know, like something like that. Or, you know, maybe there's a way that he could neutralize. To be honest, I think the Lindholm line is their best line right now. I mean, like, Lindholm, Joshua, Connor Garland was the problem. Like, I mean, even though one of Joshua's goals was an empty netter, like, they've been the better scoring line. They've been really solid, really good against the O'Reilly line. I just think, like, that's probably the better line of the two. But you don't want to forget that JT Miller is really good, and he's gonna show that at some point.
Alex, last thing for you here. Given the Demko situation, I mean, at this point, I'd be shocked if he's back in this series. We know that DeSmith is starting in Game 3 at least. That was confirmed yesterday. Given the fact that they've already split and they're coming back home, do you believe the Predators have the inside track to winning this series, or is that an overreaction at this point?
Yeah, well, I'm just wondering if Demko had a double cup, maybe he'd be okay.
Maybe so. You uncovered some big stuff the other day.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get to the bottom of the double cup today. I mean, I don't know. I think we need to figure out exactly what's going on there. I was doing some research, and I think I've got some theories.
Okay,
but,
all right.
I mean, when that news broke about Demko, I mean, the whole building changed. Like, I mean, you could tell that the the Vancouver media were scrambling to figure out what was going on, and then it changed everything. I also wonder, you know, I asked Burnett if he was going to think about changing the lineup at all on Monday, and he seemed to indicate that it was a possibility, and I don't think that he was lying to me. I think he was considering it. But then when the Demko news breaks and then they don't make any changes, I kind of wonder if that was part of it. Like, if he was thinking maybe we make a change, but then found out that they were going to have to go with a new goalie. So he was like, maybe a change would be an overreaction since there's a new goalie. I don't know. That's just a theory. Maybe there's not much to it, but I think it changed everything. I mean, Casey DeSmith is not close to Thatcher Demko in terms of quality. And then you saw UC Saros finally have a great, great playoff performance that won them the game. I mean, the game, this series is going to be won in the net at this point, I think. And right now the Nashville has that advantage. So all they have to do is play a little bit better at 5-on-5, and they've got a great shot.
Well, actually, I think we all need to pepper Saros with questions today, guys, on the double cup. Like, it's going to be like someone coming out of a courtroom in a movie. He's like, you say the double cup. I mean, I think we just absolutely need to join forces today and figure this out.
Or maybe he needs to go with the triple cup. I don't know.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I mean, congratulations to you. That is, I think, for sure, probably the best UC Saros quote we've ever gotten. That's pretty good.
Yep. And maybe ever will.
Maybe so.
Alex, really appreciate you taking time to be with us. I know it's been a long couple periods of travel for you over the last few days here. Looking forward to seeing you later today, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. All right. See you guys later.
Absolutely. Alex Doherty from the Tennessean, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. I'm throwing it out there, Joe. The question I just asked Alex, do you believe the Predators have the inside track to winning this series? We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, our phone number. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to MedicalHouseCalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keyser here with you. Appreciate Alex Doherty of the Tennessean for being with us in the last segment. So, Joe, the Predators have evened things up 1-1. Now, on one hand, I think you could make the argument they've been outplayed. I don't even know if it's an argument. They've been outplayed through the first two games of this series. It was pretty dramatic in terms of the territorial advantage and the shot attempt difference last time out as they took on Vancouver. They won the game 4-1. So on the other side of things, they evened up the series. They got the split on the road. They're coming back home for home ice advantage. And the starting goaltender of the other team, which is not some Scarbini, as Stilly likes to say, it's a pretty darn good goalie, is out, is probably going to be out the rest of the series, and that's obviously a huge deal. So, Joe Rexroad, I ask you, do you believe that the Nashville Predators, with what we've seen to this point, the entire picture in totality, have the inside track to winning this series right now as things stand against Vancouver?
It's a great question, and it's a tough one to answer based on just the way the game was played. And, you know, it's like even looking at these playoffs, Robbie, like I'm looking around and I'm seeing, you know, some of these goalies for other teams kind of stepping up. They're not backup goalies like DeSmith, but, you know, even like Georgiev, you know, what he did in game two compared to game one, Samsonov has bounced back. Again, I understand the difference. What I'm saying is, you know, you can overcome in the Stanley Cup playoffs like a goaltending disadvantage if you are that good otherwise.
Yeah.
And so just the way Vancouver controlled the action the other night, like I still kind of have a hard time saying clearly the Preds are the favorite. I mean, I think it's still really close. I would have to, I would have to give them the edge if they had Demko. Now, who knows how that game would have gone? Maybe it goes completely the other way, and it's clearly that the Canucks are just just the superior team. But if you force me to give you a yes, no answer, I have to say yes. I have to say yes because, I mean, like what Alex said there, I mean, this series should ultimately be, you know, determined there. And if the Preds are going to be consistently better, you would expect them to find their game. You expect them to bounce back and play a lot better in different facets at home. I actually do think last change in this series could be real handy in their building at times. And so, yes, but very saying it very, you know, with a little bit of a shudder, like, I'm not totally sure about this.
Well, I'll say this. If Demko was still healthy, even if the series was 1-1, let's say the things played out exactly the same way, if Demko was healthy, I would feel terrible about the Predators' chances moving forward based on what I've seen to this point. I mean, Vancouver has been all over them. They've had the puck basically the whole time in this series. Now, the Predators, to their credit, have done a really good job of stepping in lanes and preventing shots on goal, and we talked about that even in game one. You know, Vancouver had a lot of looks in game one. They only got 21 through. So you're talking about in game one, 21 shots on goal, and game two, 18 shots on goal for Vancouver. So the Predators have done a marvelous job of stepping in there and blocking shots, and they deserve credit for that. They're going to have to get so much better in terms of 5-on-5 opportunities that they can generate. And I'm interested to see, like, how much better can they actually get? Like, you know, I think last change matters. I don't think it matters to that degree in terms of, like, the utter dominance that we've seen from Vancouver over the last two games at home for them when they've really controlled the play 5-on-5. So the one reason why I feel like the Predators are – I shouldn't say one reason, two reasons. Two reasons why I feel the Predators are in a pretty good spot right now. Number one – I think DeSmith is vulnerable in net. And I think if you can find a way to put some pucks on net, find a way to break through and get to some of those rebounds, I think they're going to be there for you. And I think you're going to have some opportunity to score. So DeSmith, I believe, is vulnerable in net. And number two, I think it's going to be hard for the Predators in terms of territorial play to be much worse than they were last game out. Like I don't know how you could be much worse than they were territorially in game two. So that should lead to more offensive chances the other way. But if Demko was still in this thing, Joe, I wouldn't feel very good at all right now because Vancouver, I think, has been that dominant through two games.
Yeah, but – well, they were that dominant in game two.
They were dominant in game one. I mean, the Predators had about a seven-minute stretch. The numbers do say that. They had a huge shot attempt advantage in game one. I mean,
The zone time was pretty different game one to game two. I mean, they were better, but I thought the Preds had stretches in game one where they looked like the Preds. They had offensive zone time, right?
They did.
They got some speed through the neutral zone.
It certainly wasn't as dramatic as game two. There's no question about that.
I mean, the third period of game two was like, that's the last impression we have. And again, if it's anything like that anymore, then, I mean, that looked like two teams at different levels of hockey playing each other. Right?
It did.
So, I mean, that's like like overall, have they been better? Yeah, for sure. And the third period really tilts the ice. I think that, you know, I think game one, you could look at that and you could say, okay, flip it to the Preds building. They get a little extra energy, whatever. Yeah. Last change. It can help in some situations. For the most part, both coaches are making lineup choices as the action goes, because that's what hockey is for the most part. So, you know, it can be overrated, but I think in a certain situation, and we've certainly seen it right in the playoffs where it's like, oh, they got, there's an icing and their third D pairing and fourth line are out there. And oh my goodness, they're screwed. It's also just hard for me to believe that like, this is just what these two teams are against each other, but we'll see. I think the Preds can even that up. And if that's the case, then my answer would be a little bit more emphatic. Yes. Because I'm with you. I mean, look, their goalie is you should be able to get a couple past him that you wouldn't have gotten past Demko. And then your goalie, I mean, that's a huge deal. Is Saros going to build off what he did? He was incredible in games 3 and 4 at home in the last playoff series he played in. Not that that necessarily means anything with this, but he does have that experience of playing really well in his building in the postseason.
No question about it. The one thing about the last change that I'm interested to see if the Predators can work to their advantage, like Novak, I think has been pretty bad through two games. Can you find some situations at home where you can have that line out there in as advantageous of a situation as possible? Because like Novak has been largely invisible and maybe not invisible. I mean, sometimes I think he's been a detriment in the first two games. Can you find a way to kind of free that line up a little bit at home with the last change? I mean, everybody's going to talk about O'Reilly and Forsberg and Nyquist, and obviously you want to get those guys advantageous matchups, but you got to find a way to get that Novak line going. And I think at home, that's probably where the last change comes into it for me, is trying to find a way to free that line up.
Yeah. I think so, but also like they just have to play better. Like they have
no question.
Whatever the matchup is, like they have got to provide some puck possession and some offensive chances for this team. I mean, that's the line that, again, I thought Evangelista was good in game one, and then that line just was quiet in game two. And granted, Beauvillier goes to the other line, and it's really good, but you've got to get Evangelista going.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More your thoughts on the Predators. We'll also get back into the NFL draft coming up as well. The Rex Rant at 745. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports for his weekly visit from 8 to 8:30, talking all things NFL draft. All that coming up, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Louisville Bats on the road. Pregame at 5:20, first pitch at 5:35. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball and 94.9 The Fan presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Taking your thoughts on the Predator, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caleb and Gallatin, if you knew before the series started the Preds would come back home tied 1-1, their backup goalie is going to be the starter for Vancouver the rest of the way, I think most people would say this is a series the Preds should win. The playoffs can be crazy, but I would think most fans would be disappointed if we lose, even though that wasn't the expectation coming in. Do you think Preds fans' expectation have changed, Joe, given what's happened with Thatcher Demko in this series?
Well, yeah. I mean, no question. I mean, it's a significant change. I mean, you can't. To me, I mean, of course, it changes it. You know, it's just a matter of like, do the Canucks have enough to make up for that? And maybe they do. You know, and Saros has to. Saros had a lot of shots blocked in front of him, but he has to continue to play at that high level that he especially played at in the third period. You know, when, again, the Preds are just completely caved in. I got a text here that says, if Bruno's an offensive guru, it doesn't show up anywhere, including the power play. I mean, first of all, I mean, we've seen this team this year, as we've talked about, like score a tie a franchise record for goals, yep. Right? And score 3.26 goals a game. Like it has shown up very clearly. I mean, I would say the power play, I think the numbers actually are better than what I think it is a lot of times.
Yep.
But, you know, in this series, that's a huge key, obviously. I mean, there's been one power play goal in the series so far, which is, you know, again, both teams had good power plays and the penalty kills weren't great during the regular season. And then we're seeing the opposite here. But as we talked about going into the series, Vancouver's power play has actually been kind of struggling for a lot of the season. It was outrageously good in the first like 6 weeks,
yep.
Like way first in the league. And it really has gone down. And I think they're in their heads a little bit.
I think they are too. I mean, Pettersson especially, he's getting killed right now in terms of the criticism from Vancouver and the media and the fans and all that stuff. Like he is such a big key to me to the rest of this series. Like JT Miller is a really good player. I think he's probably going to be, he's going to be a problem to the point where I think he's going to figure some things out as this series goes on, and the Predators are going to have to really contend with him. If they can continue to, I don't know if shut down is the right word, but if they can continue to really limit Pettersson and how effective he's been, then I think that's a pretty good path to winning this series because he's such an important cog to what they do. And look, he missed a wide open net in game two. Like, it's about as open of a net as you're going to find in an NHL game, and he just missed it. So, I mean, I think it's pretty clear he's in his head a little bit right now. We'll see if that improves as things go on here or if it gets worse. Like, sometimes that can snowball on a player and they just really get outside themselves, and this is kind of really the first time that he's going through this playoff experience like this. So I'm interested to see how that affects. Joe, I think this is a really good time for the Predators to have a couple days off in between games. I wonder, like, how physically taxing was that game two win for you? I mean, you spent so much time and so much effort defending and blocking shots. And, you know, Andrew Burnett talked after the game. He talked again yesterday about, like, embracing the pain. Looked like there was a lot of pain going on out there. So I wonder, you know, like, how physically demanding was that game? And look, I mean, we've seen this in the playoffs. Every now and then you show up after a game to either a practice the next day or certainly the next game, and you're like, oh, well, where's so-and-so? Like, did the Predators come out of game two completely healthy? That'd be another thing to keep an eye on.
Yeah, it's a good point. Ryan O'Reilly has definitely been ginger going back to the bench a few times.
Yep.
For sure. And I really did think that, double cup jokes aside, I thought maybe that could have been some, like, lower body, not groin area injury for Saros on that collision. That was a hard collision. So they're lucky that, you know, he came out of that okay, because he was slow. But I mean, I've apparently, you know, again, if the double cup matters, you got to give someone a few moments there, right?
Yes.
In that situation. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see today at practice. Is anybody, we expect Forsberg to not be out there because he hasn't been,
right?
But anybody else really? I'll tell you what, Roman Josi, the hit he took,
man,
that was Myers, right?
That was Zadorov.
No, Myers was out. That was Zadorov. I get those monsters mixed up. Yeah, that hit he took, like you don't take hits like that in the regular season. Roman Josi doesn't take hits like that in the regular season. I mean, there's hits during the regular season. There's big hits and stuff like that. Like, that's one of those, like, only in the playoffs are you going to see someone just absolutely crushed like that. I mean, like, in the regular season, if that happened to Josi, first of all, those gloves are dropping immediately.
Yeah.
Right. And not saying it was a dirty hit, but I'm just saying there's an example of, like, the punishment, not just taking block shots that these guys have taken. And that's why this tournament, I think people don't understand, like, the war of attrition it truly is to go series after series into this thing and try to keep yourself in one piece.
I can confirm that Josi looked like he was all right yesterday. He did address the media getting off the plane, so it looked like he's fine. But, I mean, there's a massive hit that he took. And another thing to keep an eye on, I mean, Tyler Myers had the flu in game two, so he didn't play. I mean, I would guess, unless he's just got a really severe case of the flu, that he's probably going to be out there in game three, and you're talking about another mammoth defenseman and physical presence that you're going to have to contend with if you're the Predators. And that is the other thing. Like, I do think Vancouver has gotten the best of the physical battle in the first two games. Does that shift at all when you're back home, when the crowd's on your side, the place is buzzing, the energy level is high? Like, does that influence the physicality in the game a little bit in favor of the Predators being back on home ice?
I mean, I think that's where you see it, you know. I think you see that energy in some of the, because again, when you make a play and you get a reaction like that, there's just a natural human, like, response to want to do it again, right?
Yeah.
Dave says, explain last change. So basically, Dave, when there's a stoppage, the home team, you know, if there's a stoppage, the home team gets the second chance to put people out there. So whoever's out there for the visiting team, the home coach can see that and say, okay, and the ref will hold it up until they put out their people and say, okay, well, we're putting these guys against them. And it just reversed. So that's what Vancouver had, and that's what the Preds have. Again, as we've talked about, most of hockey is not played after stoppages.
Right.
Most of it is changes on the fly while the game is going on. But in some situations, that can be a big advantage for the home team.
Harold Henry on the text line. Predators fans should not get too excited just yet. Remember when Corey Crawford got cold and Scott Darling basically shut us down? We have seen, Joe, the curse of the backup goalie. We've seen it happen.
Absolutely. No, I mean, it happens. Now, you know, I know Corey Crawford, you know, had Corey Crawford had some moments. I think the gap between Demko and DeSmith is pretty big.
It's pretty large.
Like, some teams have, like, two goalies, you know, and they bounce back and forth. And we've seen the Penguins and Caps in recent years, of Vegas last year. Like, this is, you know, this is a very good, like, one of the best goalies in the league this year, and then, like, an okay backup.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's a little bit different.
It's a little bit different, and, like, you take your chances with this every time if you're the Predators. Really, to me, like, it's less about DeSmith, because I feel pretty confident. Like, if the Predators find a way to get to him more, they're going to score. Like, I feel pretty confident about their ability to beat him, but can they get there? I mean, they're coming off a game where you barely spend any time in the offensive zone, so can you get there? Like, can you get there and make them really doubt themselves? Like, you go out and you capitalize on the energy the crowd, I think, is going to bring, and you come out in the first 10 minutes and you're playing like gangbusters. You get to Casey DeSmith a couple times. That creates immediate doubt for Vancouver. I mean, I think there's naturally – like, if you're a player in the Vancouver locker room right now, and I heard Bruce Boudreau on the NHL Network compare it this way, and I don't know that I necessarily buy this comparison, but I understand what he's saying. He compared basically the Canucks losing Demko to what it would be like if Edmonton lost McDavid. And I don't necessarily buy that comparison, but, I Boudreau did coach the Canucks, and he knows how good Demko is. So I think naturally, like, if you're a Vancouver player, there's got to be a little bit of, oh God, we've lost Demko. Like, that's just such a tough blow, and you're trying to do what you can, and obviously advance as far as you can here. But if you can create a little doubt and get to DeSmith, if you're the Predators, I think that could really serve you well from a psychological standpoint in this series.
Well, that's why I really, the other night, it was like, I feel like I'm watching a home team down 3-1 in a series.
Yeah,
you know, like, it felt like they were like, one, because they know that what the losses is, and so you need to not lose home ice, but also just like maybe just to have that confidence that you can still do it. Casey DeSmith did win some big games down the stretch.
He did.
He went into Edmonton, and they won that game to basically win the division. So it's not like he hasn't played well. But yeah, there's a difference. I don't know if I buy the McDavid thing, but I hear what he's saying there, like, just in terms of if someone is so. Because there still are goalies for teams that are – I mean, look, when the Preds – it wasn't that long ago. Like, the Preds' confidence started with Pekka Rinne when he was playing great in goal, right?
Yeah. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. We'll do that next. Charles Robinson coming up at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rox Road on 102.5 The Game.
Okay, did I say Rox Road right?
Rex Road.
Rex Road. Okay, let me do that again.
No worries.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5 The Game.
Man, that always puts me in a good mood. I think I could listen to that every day. Every single day, I could do it. It's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. Joseph, the floor is yours.
I don't think that's ever going to stop being funny.
It's not. It will never stop being funny.
Truly fantastic. Apparently there's a cruise, by the way. Who the heck just sent me this? Oh, I think it was Gentry. There's a cruise that you can go on, okay, since we're going to bring up Creed. And it's like you play drinking games with all these bands from, like, the 90s. I got to find this, man. Yeah, I'm not kidding. Like, you play, like, beer pong with Creed and, like Tonic or, like, some of these bands. I have to find – oh, my gosh. This is terrible. Oh, here we go. Okay, yeah. Oh, okay, here we go. It's the Creed Summer of 99 Cruise, okay?
Oh, yes.
Summerof99cruise.com. No, and here are some of the bands. Three Doors Down, Tonic, Vertical Horizon, Tantric Fuel, Dishwalla, Buck Cherry, East Lansing's own Verve Pipe. Saw those guys back before they got famous. So there you go. And you can go on there and apparently just, like, hang out with And that's exactly what Creed should be doing, right? Like, they should be doing, like, weird cruises and playing, like, the Wilson County Fair.
I tell you what, okay? Though, a Creed and Three Doors Down, I could get behind. I feel like I could have a pretty good time on that cruise.
Okay. Okay, yeah. I mean, you know, I don't hate a little Dishwalla every once in a while, you know, so. But actually, that's a good intro because we're going to talk about butchering the English language today. So that worked out pretty well.
Okay.
So first of all, I need to apologize because I think sometimes I'm a little mean to people. I think especially yesterday I may have complained a bit too much on Jared versus Joe. But although I think I had a valid complaint. But I can be a little mean, and Big Joe called me out yesterday, and I want to apologize. If I've said – he said I don't remember saying it, but I don't doubt that it's true. If I said past history – so I was talking about the Titans and draft picks because, you know, Kaharski's always talking about, oh, they've never drafted a good receiver, so why would they now? It's like that doesn't make any sense, you know. But if I use the term past history, that is a terrible redundancy, and I apologize, okay?
Okay.
Past history. So I thank you, Big Joe, for calling me out. You know what? I appreciate it. I think that we should hold each other accountable, and I will work my damnedest to never say past history again.
I smoke weed constantly.
That is a fantastic drop. That's a fantastic drop. So from a guy who I don't think has ever smoked weed. So
he says no. He says he has.
Yeah, or so he claims. So I want to talk about let's talk about the Titans draft tonight, because you know what the Titans need to do? They need to do a lot of things, but they really need to shore up their offensive line. Mm. Would we all agree that the Titans need to shore up their offensive line?
I
would hope so, because it needs some shoring up. This one can go no longer. I am not going to let this pass anymore. And by the way, there is a major offender at this station. And I'm not going to call that person out individually because I think I do that too much. I mean, Chase is at some point going to fire me for being mean to my, you know, coworkers. But someone, and you know who you are, says, sure up, which is not a thing. It's not a verb. It's shore up. Shore, it is actually a verb, and it's derived from the noun shore, which means prop, a beam or a timber, propped against a structure to provide support.
Right.
The verb shore dates from I'm reading dictionary.com, dates from the year 1340 and first used on record in 1581. You can shore things up, strengthen them, support them, right? You don't shore things up. That's
right.
Freaking stupid, and I'm sick of hearing it. And if you're doing that, I want you to think about it, and I want you to stop doing it.
Wow.
That's my English lesson for the day.
I like that. So you're not going to call out who this was? That's fine. We can all take our guesses.
This person knows who they are. Yeah, it's just I feel like I need to, you know, like sometimes when I rip on Kaharski a lot. we have fun with Keezer. I yelled at Caroline over the Marvin Harrison Jr. take.
I remember
just feel
that.
Like I've been a little bit grouchy lately.
I mean, people I saw both on the Twitterverse yesterday and even some this morning on our own text line. You maybe went a little overboard yesterday with Stilly on Jared versus Joe. You were pretty passionate out there. I didn't think you were overboard. I enjoyed every last second of it. But a lot of passion from you yesterday.
Well, look, it was truly excessive. It was Jared became the William Faulkner of sports radio, which is just stream of consciousness, like one word after the blah, 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 blah. And then I would do this, and then I would do that, and then I would do this, and then I would do that. Like, okay, great. Answer her question. He just forgets the questions. Answer her question, and then the other person talks. So, yes, I could have handled it better, but I think that I don't think I was encountering the norm there. I think he was really on one yesterday, and
now,
he lost.
Now we have a nice reminder, speaking of like English language problems that we've had on this program before. Remember the nip it in the butt rather than the nip it in the bud, what it actually is?
Oh, my goodness.
That's being revisited on the text line right now. That was good
nip
stuff.
Nip it in the butt. Yes, all-timer from Michelle. Yes.
Russell and Franklin, can we get Joe to do an entire segment on topic in his PK voice? I think that.
I think didn't I do that one time?
I think you tried, and I think
it was bad.
It may cause an aneurysm at some point. We don't want you to have that.
The problem is, I kind of flipped from like Jersey to New York to Boston, and so in short bursts, it can be effective and funny. But if I
try to talk like this for like 12 straight minutes, you know what I'm saying? It would be ridiculous.
See, I mean, even that wasn't very good. It's weird. It's like. It's almost like, you know, the
short exorcist, burst.
Like you get possessed sometimes by Beelzebub and it works. And then sometimes it just, you can't channel it.
Christina on the text line says, "Holy Toledo, what got into Joe to turn my wake up radio into a cranky grammar moderator?" This is from Christina on the text line. I don't know. Good question.
I know. I'm sorry, Christina. First of all, again, I was trying to call myself out too, because past history is dumb. That is very dumb. And so I'm glad Big Joe called that out. But then I was trying to think yesterday, like, okay, I was trying to think of a snappy response on Twitter, like what's a recent grammar issue I've had. But that we had a sure up issue on a show on our station a couple weeks ago, and I was like, just, you know, clenching my fist, and I was like, this is the time to bring it out.
I like it. Very good stuff. Coming up next,
sure up,
we'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, getting into all things NFL draft. The first round of which is tonight. That's coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.